I've been thinking about power this week, and it's a funny word. I don't know if you've ever done that thing where you say a word that you know well, and you say it a few times, and all of a sudden it starts to sound not quite what you expected. Well, power is one of those words. Generally, in Australia, I think, we say it as kind of one syllable, and we fit all those letters in, have a couple of vowel sounds, a diphthong, it's called, and we say power. See, that's one syllable, isn't it? If I was from the southern states and the United States, I might say every letter, I'd say power, power. That's a funny word, power, power. Well, I've been thinking about this because it's actually the word that links the end of Luke's gospel with the beginning of Acts. Now, you probably know that Luke and Acts were written by the same person. And so Luke kind of overlaps these stories. And he has this idea of power. And in Luke Acts 1:8, there's the words that power will be upon you and you'll be my witnesses, Jesus says. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus has said, but wait, you will be clothed with power from on high. So what is this power of the Holy Spirit? What are we talking about? There's a particular word that's used in the original writings, a word called dynamis. And when I was trying to learn Greek, not very successfully, it was one of those words that I could remember because it's the same word that we get dynamite from, right? Dynamite power. So that was one I got right. So this word dynamis, it's talking about power. And it's talking about not just power as in strength, but as the ability, the capacity to do something. So I've been pondering this thought and thinking about how often we use it, how often we use this word. I mean, we often sing about it, don't we? We often sing about the powerful name of Jesus, or we sing there is power in the name of Jesus. We sang last week that there was power in the blood. We might say that there's wonder-working power. But what do we mean by that? What do we mean by power? What is it that we want? I remember... there's a noise there. We're live, you see. We just do this stuff occasionally, so you'll know that we're live and not pre-recorded. You saw our deliberate mistake there. So what do we mean when we talk about power? So I was at a conference, a Salvation Army conference, some years ago now, down in Melbourne. And I was on a panel, and there's a young man there, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want power. I want power. And I said, why? And he said, I want the power to heal people. And again, I said, why? And it kind of wasn't the time or place for the discussion. But I really wanted to know what he meant by that. What did he mean by power? What did he want it for? Who was he thinking of? Was he thinking of the people who needed healing? Or was he thinking of how awesome it would be to have power at his disposal? What did he mean? You see, power is attractive. Power is attractive, I think, and it's also seductive. And it's attractive in all sorts of settings. I think we're attracted to powerful people. People who are powerful because of money or influence or through celebrity. We're attracted to that, I think. And perhaps that's true of powerful gifts in a religious context. We're attracted to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, when somehow it is power that's at our disposal, that we somehow have control over. Now, I think it's been the downfall of many televangelists, I think, this attraction to power. And I think we're kind of attracted to the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to give gifts. Now, we read that kind of extraordinary, well, actually Jody told us, that extraordinary story of tongues of flame and the sound like the rushing wind and people speaking in tongues. That's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit is able to do things that we cannot do, you see. So there's an attraction in that. I don't think that's the main thing, by the way. When Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, he points this out to them. He says, yes, these gifts are fantastic. They're awesome. And they're a sign from God to remind you that God is powerful and that God is at work, but they're not the main thing. In fact, in the wider church, we've often been afraid of the powerful gifts of the Spirit. and the various charismatic renewals that happened throughout the 20th century. Lots of more conservative evangelical Christians were frightened by this. It certainly happened in my lifetime. And I remember when lots of people in the 70s, good Christians, left the Salvation Army for charismatic churches. And we were worried about this idea that people were attracted to the power of people speaking in tongues in particular and gifts of healing. So sometimes we didn't want to talk about power in that way and we emphasised something different. So for us in the Salvation Army, we would talk about the power to save. And so we'd often talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and to save us in that sense that it gets us across the line from sin to salvation, the power to free us from sin. And that's an aspect of the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if we're even more worried, we talk about power as the power to serve. Because that was kind of safer, I think. The great Christian writer A.W. Tozer talks about this. The fact that we decided that the Holy Spirit's power was the power to serve God as we ought. And that was what mattered most. But as he also points out, while each of these things is true, they're only a partial truth. And what we want to understand is the whole truth. So what do we mean when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean for us? What do we want of the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, we believe in a triune God. We believe that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is part of the Godhead and has always been so. So the Spirit has been at work in the world. The Spirit was present at creation. The Spirit has always been at work in the world in God's salvation plan. The Spirit has always been at work in the world in answers to prayer. But the question is really, what does it mean for you and me? And what does the power bit mean? What is the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks about? In those beautiful words from that 9th century hymn that we read through before, it has this line, "Kindle light in our senses and pour love in our hearts." And it's this idea of the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in us. It's this idea that God is both light and love. And the Holy Spirit in it changes us. And love poured into our hearts sets us free from self-love. It also enables us to see truly. It helps us to lift our eyes to God. So the Holy Spirit frees us to grow in wisdom and love, and it frees us from sin. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. If you've read Romans 7 and 8, and they're kind of two chapters that you need to read together, it's Paul talking about the Christian story. In chapter 7, he's talking about someone who wants to do the right thing, someone who wants to live by the law. And he says, "But I just seem powerless. The things I want to do, I can't. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing anyway." And there's this rhetorical cry, this rhetorical question that he has at the end of this text. And he says, "Who will rescue me from the law of sin and death?" He goes on to say in chapter 8, "Through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from that law." The Spirit sets us free. Who will rescue us from the law of sin and death? The Holy Spirit changes our hearts. It changes us. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to see and to know and to feel God. Tozer would say, because of that, we're worshippers before we're workers for Jesus. That the primary thing that the power of the Holy Spirit does is draw us into the life of God. The Spirit draws us into God, helps us to know Christ. It changes our minds and our hearts. And the Spirit equips us for all that is necessary. And so the whole truth is that the power of the Holy Spirit is all of those things. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. The power of the Holy Spirit saves us. The power of the Holy Spirit helps us to serve. The power of the Holy Spirit transforms our hearts and minds. The Holy Spirit is the power of salvation. It's the power of healing, of restoration, of gifts and service. And it's a big idea. When I was a young man, and lots of you know my story, I can't remember if I've ever given my testimony per se at Parramatta, but I drifted away from the church, well, deliberately stepped away from the church and stepped away from God in my teenage years, and I kind of wrestled with faith, wrestled with, in particular with living out my faith. And there was so much of living as a Christian that I found so hard to do. I remember when I came back to the church when I was a 21-year-old. I came back to God, and I had a lot of time on my hands because I'd been working as a barman. I'd quit my job as a barman. And I had the keys to the Salvation Army Corps at Albion, and because I'd been working, doing cleaning there. It's a complex story, but I want you to know all the details, right? So I used to go down there and I'd practice my cornet, and I'd end up practicing it for hours. And I'd practice this solo. It's a solo, cornet solo called Tucker. And it's based on those words that we sang before, the tune's based, used to those words, those beautiful words of William Booth. And I used to play it with the songbook on the stand next to me. And the line that just stuck in my mind, which was my absolute prayer, was for the power to walk the world in white. You see, I'd wrestled so much with living as a Christian, and I'd done it so badly. I just longed for this power to walk the world in white. And that's the power that Jesus is talking about, you see. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus says, and you will be my witnesses. Acts 1:8. And when we say witnesses, we mean more, you see, than telling people I'm a Christian, because that's often what we say. Well, I witnessed. I was brave enough to say that I'm a Christian. But I think it's a bit of a bigger word than that. It's a bigger story. It's not just talking to people about how they might become Christians too. The power to walk the world in white is the power to be holy, in the fullest sense of the word, to be all that God would want us to be. You see, it's not just purity. That was the bit I wrestled with. It wasn't just purity. It wasn't just saying no to the things of the world, right? It was a power to be the presence of God in the world. The power not just to resist, but to offer something to the world. Like many of you, I'm sure, we've been shocked this week when we saw what happened in the United States with the death of George Floyd. And it's been this polarising event, and there's been all sorts of protests and riots, extraordinary scenes. So I have some friends who are Americans, and they've been posting on social media about this. And one of the messages that they've said is that it's not enough to say I'm not a racist. That is to say no, right? It's not enough to say I'm not a racist, but what we must be anti-racism. That we must actively take a stand against what we see. The power of the Holy Spirit gives us the capacity not just to say no, but to say yes to God and to be the people we need to be in the world. And my prayer is for the Salvation Army and for all my Christian friends in the United States that through the power of the Holy Spirit, they will understand what they need to say yes to, how they can be the presence of Christ in this troubling situation, in their communities. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit changes everything. It changes us, changes our hearts, changes our minds, changes our conversations. It equips us to serve. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that same Spirit is in us. The Spirit of Christ is in us. When Paul says that, he doesn't mean I can do anything I want. What he means is that I can do all that God wants me to do. That the power of the Holy Spirit is in me, enabling to be and to do all that God requires of me. And here's the thing, it's not just for a select few, it's for everybody. That's what Peter tells us in Acts 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, your sons, your daughters, young men, old men, on my servants, both men and women. This is for everybody. The Spirit is poured out on all people. And that's you and me. It's not for a few holy people or for some denominations and not for others. The Holy Spirit is poured into every heart. But here's the challenge. We weak and powerless people can hinder the Spirit. The Spirit is courteous. The Spirit does not override our personality and our will. You see, I'd fervently prayed that prayer, the power to walk the world in white. I long for it. But I've been unable to live it out. In those decades since then, there have been times when I'm sure I've grieved the Holy Spirit, because that's what the Bible tells us we can do, that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure I have. I've failed and I've sinned. Even though the Spirit has sealed us for salvation, we can act in ways that run counter to God's desires for us. And we know that, I think. The Spirit is in us and we're called to be holy, but sometimes our actions are not holy. And this respect for our will, this respect for our choosing from God Himself is a great gift, I think. He allows us to respond. And so that's the question. Are we brave enough to open our hearts, to choose fully and freely, to allow the powerful Holy Spirit to work in us and through us? That's not a request for the faint-hearted, I think. To say, Spirit of the living God, do a powerful work in me, change me, use me, make me yours, save me, give me the gifts I need, help me to serve, make me holy. I think they're big prayers. See, what do we really want? Truly, are they our prayers? That the power of the Holy Spirit will be at work, fully at work in us. Do we want to feel the Spirit's power in every aspect of our life? On this Pentecost Sunday, as we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, the powerful Spirit who lit the flame of the church and lights it still, let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and seek the power to walk the world in white. So let's sing. Let's worship as we sing to the Spirit of the living God.